Salvation is going from one prison to another. In Acts, Paul, speaking to King Agrippa, said that his purpose, his mission, was to open their eyes, the sinner's eyes, and to turn them from darkness, the prison of darkness, to light, the prison of light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. So you are either in a prison of darkness or a prison of light. It was William Girnall, the Puritan, that said, "The sinner is a prisoner in the dungeon of darkness, chained to his lusts, blinded by Satan, until the light of the gospel breaks in." A prisoner in the dungeon of darkness. The Apostle Paul said that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah, he said, God said through him, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the nations, to open their blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of that prison." Jesus himself said that he came to set the prisoners free from a dungeon of darkness. And as Luther said, my conscience is captive to the word of God. David said God's word is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. And so when Luther was being accused of being a heretic and demanded that he renounce his works, he said, my conscience is captive to the word of God. We really can't have salvation unless our conscience is captive to the word of God. Unless we too become prisoners of Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:20, we have a beautiful invitation. Behold, I, Jesus, stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will dine or sup with him and he with me. And you know, many people want to know, who is that knocking on my heart's door? Is it a communist dictator? Is it some philosopher? Is it my own beliefs? Who is knocking on my door? So they open the door a little bit to see who it is. And as soon as they do, as soon as they take a glimpse through that open door, the light of heaven shines in. But Christ is still outside. And what they see is the filth. The darkness dissipates, but all the garbage is exposed. And then they have the choice to either open the door fully or close it. And Jesus said in John 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. They love the garbage that's in their life. They like their sin. They like their rebellion. Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. How does a person know that they're in darkness and not walking in light? Darkness is blindness. In darkness you keep stumbling over the same thing. Can't find your way. You're groping against a wall. You can't see the future. Yes, the Christian can see the future. Those who walk in light can see the future. The future is wonderful for the Christian. The future is magnificent. It's filled with all the promises of God, all the glory of God. But those that are walking in darkness can't see any of that. He that loves his brother, says John, abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. If you walk in the light, there is no occasion of stumbling. So the prison that we're all in, that we all start our lives in, is darkness. And God sent his Son to take us from that prison to the prison of light, to be prisoners of Christ. Prisoners in ancient time experienced a much more different incarceration than prisoners do today. There were no ping pong tables, no televisions, no libraries, no exercise yard. They were usually chained to the wall. They were bound, as the Bible says. Joseph was bound in prison. Paul and Silas were bound in stocks. Samson was bound with shackles of brass. King Zechariah was bound in chains and then carried off to Babylon. John the Baptist was bound by Herod and put into prison. Peter was bound with chains between two Roman soldiers. The prison house of sin is where one is bound by sin. The incarceration is in chains. And we, through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, can be transferred out of that prison of chains to a prison of freedom. But it's still a prison. Prison. Why? Because we obey the Lord. Because he's in command. And if you don't think Christianity is a prison, you're still in a prison of darkness. Yes, we as Christians are captivated by Jesus Christ. He has captured our hearts. He has chained us with his love. He has brought us into a relationship of grace. And we're bound by that grace, as the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Who would bind up this man? Paul, God. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city where I go, chains and afflictions, bonds await me. But none of these things move me. See, when you're in the prison of God's grace, in the prison of God's love, if you are incarcerated in his mercy, surrounded by his goodness, there's no need to fear. Well, the prisoner that is in the dungeon of Pharaoh or Nero, they have much to fear. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry which I have received, the life which I have received, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. One of the Wesleyan hymns which we have sung, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" He writes, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." If you're not following Jesus Christ, if you haven't taken up that cross in self-denial yet, you may go to a Christian church, you may know Christian language, you may understand the parts of the Bible and memorize parts of the Bible, but you're still in darkness. I awoke. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Prisons were set up to be cruel to the prisoners. They showed usually no mercy to these criminals that were incarcerated. Mercy was not on the table. You sinned, you committed a crime, and you were punished cruelly. We read in Acts that when they had laid many stripes upon them, that's Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging or commanding the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, such a command, thrust them into the innermost prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Imprisoned after being whipped mercilessly. The word thrust, as is used here, is the Greek word bello, which means to be thrown in more or less violently. So here are two men, Paul and Silas, their backs ripped open, and yet they were handled with cruelty. If you're still in the prison house of sin, sin will be cruel to you. Sin will cause you fear. It will cause you anxiety and worry. But most of all, it will keep God's love and His grace and His mercy from filling your heart. You'll be filled with everything else but. The Apostle Paul was very often tortured cruelly. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes minus one." 5 times he received 39 stripes. That's 195 lashes. That's just by the Jews alone. But from other sources, the Romans and barbarians and whoever, he received stripes above measure. Stripes that could not be counted. Perhaps you've heard of the former Romanian pastor Richard Wurmbrand. He stood up against communism in the 40s and 50s. He spent 14 years in prison, 3 years in solitary confinement. And he wasn't just confined, he was tortured. His body was mutilated. It was burned. He was locked in a large frozen icebox for some time. And he says there was a pain delivered to him that he had no words to describe. His feet were beaten, the bottom of his feet were beaten, so the flesh came off. And the next day, they were beaten again. No flesh. And yet in that prison, in that time, he wrote and memorized 300 sermons. And after his release, he preached to people. Sin tortures the sinner. Separates you from God's kindness. And so either you are in the prison of darkness, prison of sin, which is cruel and harsh and torturous, or you're in the prison of kindness, of God's kindness, captivated by His love. Paul writes Titus and says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, as I was. Disobedient as I was. Deceived as I was. Serving many false, sinful desires and pleasures as I was. Living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward us appear. God has a prison. He wants to keep you. He doesn't want you going into the world and loving the world. He wants you all for himself. That's why he's called a jealous God. Though these prisons were places of cruelty, God's prison is a place of kindness. Also, the prisons in ancient times were not clean. They were filthy. There was disease. You might be in prison with a person who has leprosy. There were rats and lice, all manner of vermin. Can you imagine a prisoner being chained to the wall, sitting on a little heap of straw, if he had that much, saying, "Excuse me, Mr. Prison Guard, I'd like to use the toilet now. Can you show me where the men's room is?" And the guard would say, "You're sitting in it right now." That's how the prisons were. You defecated, you regurgitated, your body might have oozed all manner of sickness, and you stayed in it. And imagine if there were a dozen other such like people in your prison cell. Place was filthy. Place of stench, disease. The prison house of sin is a place that is filthy. Why? Because we are filthy. We bring our disease with us everywhere we go. We are all as an unclean thing, said the prophet Isaiah. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We are all unclean. King David, as was mentioned earlier, had committed the sin of adultery and murder. And while he was living in an unrepentant state, he was living in a prison that's filthy and dark. And he was being tortured. His bones, body was aching because of his sin. And he writes in Psalm 38, "My iniquities, my sins are going over my head as a heavy burden that are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." So everywhere David went before he repented was a place of filth and stench. No wonder many of his sons rebelled. No wonder there was murder in his household. His wounds stink and are corrupt. But as we looked at Psalm 51, David said, "Lord, hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David was tired of living in that prison of filth and stench. If you're living in that prison of filthy thoughts, selfish thoughts, and if our righteousness is as filthy rags, as the prophet said, just to think that you're good enough to get to heaven is a filthy thought. You're presenting your filthy rags to God. Here, God, accept. By God's grace, by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can go from being a prisoner of filth to one of cleanliness. When the leprous captain of the Syrian army, Naaman, went to seek Elisha for healing, he said to Naaman, dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. Naaman thought that was preposterous. The River Jordan's a dirty river. The rivers in my home are better than that. But his servant said, you know, if he had asked you to do some greater thing, you do it, don't do it. And he did. He obeyed. He went down in the river, dipped himself 7 times. Not 1, not 5, not 6.5, but 7, according to the word of God given by Elisha. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When we put our faith in the word of God and begin to obey it, the devils believe they know the word of God better than we do. When we begin to obey the word of God, there's cleansing. For Jesus said to his disciples, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You are clean through the word of God. How does that work? Well, Jesus is the word of God and became flesh and dwelt among us. So prisons were a place of filth, of torture, a place without hope. Most people went to these prisons without a trial. There was no lawyer to defend them. They were left there to rot, to die, or to be executed. Prisons were a place of death, not of recreation. They were not a place where criminals were made well again. You went there to die. And there was no escape, usually. Prophet Jeremiah said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. And that's why you got into prison as a child. And that's where the prison sentence begins. Not at birth, but perhaps a few years later. When the child decides to disobey mother and father. When the child decides to side with their friends rather than the truth. There is no hope. But we will walk after our own imaginations, those of our evil heart. They didn't send criminals to be rehabilitated. You know, the biblical rehabilitation is repentance through faith and sanctification of our souls. That's the rehabilitation that the Bible teaches. Apostle Paul says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of God's promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. What? By our good works? By our church affiliation? No, by the blood of Christ. We once had no hope. Prisoners without hope. But Dante, in his masterful work, The Inferno, had a sign put above the gate of hell. Abandon all hope, all ye who enter here. It's too late to look for hope then. Christ is our hope now, friends. Our only hope. And you've heard me say it very often, that our bodies, the body you're in now, is a prison. You can't escape that body but by death. Okay? It's a prison. If it gets sick, you're sick. If it gets old and feeble, you're old and feeble. Your body is a prison. Job said, my flesh is clothed with worms. and clods of dust. My skin is broken and I have become loathsome. My flesh is clothed with worms. Someday, all our bodies will be clothed with worms. But Job, who was in a prison of anger for a while, he was in a prison of darkness because he did not see God's plan for him. That plan for Job included suffering. The plan God has for you includes suffering. If you don't see that, if you don't see that, you will be chastened and even scourged. That word scourged in the Greek means whipped. That's why Job thought God was cruel. He called God cruel. Well, because he was in the prison house of darkness. He was in the prison house of self-righteousness. And of course you're going to think God is cruel when he chastens you. But God chastens us differently than the prison guard chastens us. Chastens us out of love. And so Job, by faith, escaped the prison of doubt, of fear, of anger, of self-righteousness. And he said, "And though after my body is destroyed by worms, yet in my new body will I see God." That's the prison God wants you to be in. So convinced, so assured, not by anything you have done, but by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that someday you will see him in a new body. I shall see God. Apostle Paul writes, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Either our death is swallowed up in victory, or all our victories are swallowed up by death. Which shall it be? All your victories, all your accomplishments, your diplomas, all that you've gotten in life, swallowed up by death, or to have your death swallowed up in victory. That's why Jesus came, to banish death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have strayed from the Lord. Maybe you have turned to your own ways, like the prodigal son, who finally came to his senses and said, "There's bread enough to spare in my father's house, and here are all I perish of hunger." He was in the prison of pig stench, the prison of poverty, because of his self-will. The prophet Zechariah says, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope." I'm a prisoner of hope. If you're following Jesus Christ, you're a prisoner of hope. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. So, which prison are you in? The prison of darkness? You don't see a heavenly future for you? You're not assured that there is a home in heaven for you? You're in darkness, unless you're assured of it. But if you are in the light, captivated by the light of the gospel, conscience captivated by the Word of God, you know that your Redeemer lives. You know that you'll see Him with your new body. Are you bound? Are you chained to sin? You can't shake the shackles off like Samson? Because Samson disobeyed God. He was shackled with brass. Working for the Philistines. Once he fought the Philistines. Once he conquered the Philistines. Now he was their servant. Now he was their slave. Are you a slave to sin? Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him. They believed. But you know what? They weren't quite free yet. Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, yes, you're the Messiah. We know who you are. We believe in you. He said, continue in my word. Then you shall be disciples in reality, and the truth will set you free. So we are bound in the world to the lies of philosophers, or we're bound to the Word of God and free. Either we abound in cruelty, prison of cruelty, where we live in fear and worry, or we live in God's kingdom of kindness, the kingdom of love. You know, heaven will be a sort of prison, a prison you won't want to leave, an eternal prison of God's glory and goodness and love. You'll be incarcerated together with the other believers, with the angels, not in a filthy place like here, or our minds, but a clean, holy place. Which prison are you in? Prison of death or life? And imagine that, your body someday, after the worms have destroyed it, shall be made like unto His glorious body. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, he spent 12 years in the Bedford prison. In that prison, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And he said, I was never in prison till now, and never free till I was shut up in Christ. Shut up in Christ. Confined to His Word. Now, I've likened the Bible to a pair of blinders that you put on a horse or oxen. And the reason why you put blinders on these animals is to keep them from seeing or thinking the grass is greener over there, or seeing a snake over there might frighten them. The blinders are to keep the animal on the straight and narrow path. God's word will do that. I was never in prison till now, and never free till I was shut up in Christ, confined to His Word. We don't need to stray from His Word. All that we have is right there. Let us pray. Lord, may we truly be with the Apostle Paul. For this is not just for him. May we be prisoners of Jesus Christ. Like Luther, Lord, may our conscience be bound in the Word of God. May we be incarcerated in cleanliness of thought, purity of heart. May we be shut up in Christ, having no desire to wander having no desire for anything else but you, Lord Jesus, and your will be done in our lives. May we truly be prisoners of hope. Though we're prisoned in this world, though we're prisoned in these bodies, you may be prisoned in your occupation, we are still prisoners of hope. Of hope in the Lord Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.